Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans, for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly would. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. As always, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you'd like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcasting sites, so you can listen on demand. And if you'd like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, that's available via CastBox. Just search Scuttlebutt SBN, Tom's Tirade, and you'll be able to find that. You can subscribe and you'll get notified when there are new shows that are uploaded. And we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight, so if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we'll be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He'll get us up to speed on what our veterans can expect in funeral benefits and maybe some of the misunderstandings or the myths that are out there. We'll also speak with Donald Ciotat from the Alabama Career Center on upcoming employment opportunities for veterans. Also, the search for answers in the tragedy of, it was five Marines and a couple of associate members in a motorcycle group that were killed in the last week. And the questions just sort of keep mounting, and there aren't a lot of answers at this point. And of course, later, Tom's Tirade on Keep 'Em Separated. You don't want to miss it. Tom, we talked about this story, and we followed up really for a few years. But at the story off of military.com, it's headlined, "After decades of fighting, the Blue Water Navy benefits bill is now a law."
Hallelujah.
And that would have been, that would have been yesterday.
Yep.
President Trump signed the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act, and it will fast-track disability compensation for personnel with medical conditions related to Agent Orange. And of course, Tom, you and I followed this. I mean, this has been a long fight for these sailors. Of course, it was a long fight for the boots on the ground when it came to getting recognized for certain diseases connected to Agent Orange. So this is a step in the right direction. If you're going to cover the boots on the ground, if these Marines and sailors who served off the coast of Vietnam in that water, Tom, one of the things I think is interesting, and they don't talk about it here, but I've read some other articles on it. You know, when they had the tsunami in Japan, and they had basically the meltdown, they had the problems with that nuclear facility, and the Navy, the U.S. Navy was assisting in giving aid. And one of the questions that was raised is, are those sailors now going to have to turn around and wonder whether that exposure affected them? So, yeah, like I said, I don't know how much that played into it, but it certainly highlighted that, yes, you can be within 12 nautical miles of the coast. It doesn't necessarily mean that you weren't exposed.
Well, that most of the planes that were carrying the Agent Orange and dispersing it on the foliage in Vietnam were coming from the ships,
Oh, right. And, we've covered stories where there have been aircraft that were transporting the Agent Orange that ended up being, recycled, refitted, and there were crews that used it years later.
Right.
Who were still exposed.
Yeah, well, some of the pumps some of the pumps and all that came off of the planes were removed from the planes in Greenland, and they were transported to Arkansas to a maintenance facility there, and they were repaired there. And they were just washed off with a water hose.
Right. Well, obviously we know. I don't think there's a question that there is a connection between Agent Orange and some of these diseases that our veterans are experiencing. And I think it's just a matter of really tracking, even if the government can, of really trying to figure out exactly where all Agent Orange was stored, transported, utilized, all of that. And of course, Tom, this bill, according to Congress and the VA, an estimated 90,000 veterans may be eligible for benefits under the law. And it extends, veterans who served off the coast of Vietnam between January 9th, 1962 and May 7th, 1975, within 12 nautical miles of the coast of Vietnam and Cambodia. The eligible veterans include veterans with one or more of the diseases whose claims were previously denied. So, that's one of those things where, when we talk to Colin and the folks over at Guardberg and Kimberly, he says, file early. And who knows, maybe some of these veterans are going to get benefits back to that original filing date. You've also got, and it extends, and this is, like I said, this is where you've got to wonder exactly how far this coverage will extend, because it also covers veterans who served in the Korean demilitarized zone between September 1st, 1967, and August 31st, 1971. And this is an interesting one. Children with spina bifida born to veterans who served in Thailand between January 1962 and May 1975. One of the problems that you've got here, Tom, is of course, they're kind of robbing from Peter to pay Paul, because the cost of the benefits is supposed to be raised. It's going to be covered by raising fees on non-disabled veterans for VA-supported loans, with an increase of a portion of a percentage point depending on the type of the loan. And you still have, even with this, Tom, you still have some veterans groups that are saying that this may negatively impact some veterans. The Military Veterans Advocacy, a group that brought a lawsuit against the federal government for denying benefits to Blue Water Navy veterans, say the law's wording may affect up to 55,000 of the 90. He's said the area noted in the bill may exclude some sailors whose ships were offshore but outside the territorial waters. So, Tom, again, it's a back and forth. I think it's probably a step in the right direction. Is it who knows, Tom? I mean, we didn't put a dye in the Agent Orange, so we would know exactly where it was tracking
right
when it came off of the Vietnam coast. And so, it's difficult. And I guess the only thing that you could do is continue to have some of these groups and the large veteran service organizations. I mean, maybe it's not time for them to just simply declare victory. It may be time for them to say, okay, this is a step in the right direction, but we want to see more. So we'll see how everything plays out, but hopefully we'll be able to get Colin on in the next couple of weeks to talk about his take on the new law. On the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And you can check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we are honored to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Clark from the Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's good to be here.
And Tom, I think you've got some questions for him.
I certainly do. It's Bill, we've talked on numerous occasions when you were on board here with us from about the things that vets need to be aware of out at Serenity and or any funeral home, wherever it may be. But there's some different documents and other paperwork that should be readily available in your files for these.
Yes, for veterans, one of the most important things is the discharge papers, whether it be for some of our older veterans, it was called the Report of Separation Papers. But after World War II, it was known as DD-214. And I think a lot of our listeners will be familiar with that because that's what most people have in our listening audience. It's very important to have that. There's several things that hinge around that. Anytime we need to secure a military honors ceremony, we have to have that. All branches of service do require that before they make their plans to be at the cemetery to provide that military honor ceremony. Some of the other things that people need to be aware of, very important papers, things such as insurance papers, life insurance, that's very, very important.
Right.
Many times
right.
people are needing that. In order to pay for a funeral. Other things would be your cemetery deeds, various bank and savings accounts, any brokerage accounts, retirement accounts. These are very important to have readily available to your family.
Yeah, and you have to be real careful about putting those in a bank.
That's
you
true.
Know, a safe deposit box, because, I mean, if you have a death that occurs Friday or Saturday, and then it's going to be at the, at your mercy of the bank opening before you could get in there to get your papers and all.
That's exactly right.
But now, let me ask you a question. We haven't defined as to whether or not a veteran can receive a military-style funeral if he doesn't have an honorable discharge.
Right. It has to be anything other than dishonorable. It could be a medical discharge. It could be,
general
discharge. As long as it's not dishonorable,
okay.
We can secure some type of a military honor ceremony for that veteran.
And I called you the other day about a good friend that's a Marine that's like 94 years old that's actually was in the hospital at the time, and his family was getting a little queasy about it. And they were wondering about what they should be looking for, whether it would be a DD-214, or they said that somebody said something about a different type of discharge paper.
Yes.
And this gentleman had gotten out of World War II, so he probably had this other paper that you're talking about, which is?
Right, the report of separation paper.
Okay.
That's what the heading at the top of that reads.
Now, that being said, if they can't find that, isn't there a special form?
There is. Someone can go online, and it's form 180, 180.
180.
And you'll pull that up, and it's a form that you fill out, giving the person's full name, date of birth, approximate year of service, Social Security number, things of that nature. And you send that off, and in about 2 weeks, you'll get a good copy of
the discharge. That was going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. How long would it normally take?
About 2 weeks. And listen, for those listeners that don't have access to computers or printers and things of that nature, our staff at Serenity is more than happy to help any of our veterans' families help secure that form. So all you have to do is really just come in and ask to speak with one of our counselors, one of our directors, and we'll be more than happy to print that out and fill it out for you.
So it's the same thing applies, though, if they're listening to us tonight and they don't really remember, they get in a mode being in stress from a severe sickness and or death, then they say, well, I don't know what to do. They just need to get on their buggies and go to Serenity.
Sure. We'll be more than happy to help them, because we all have a real passion for our veterans. We love the fact that they have sacrificed much of their life to defend our country, and we are very appreciative of that.
Amen. And we see a lot of people that's not. And I picked up on something that Cal was talking about there a while ago. Now they've allowed this blue water thing, the claims to come in, but yet they're saying that they're going to pay for it by changing a percentage of rates on the home loans, by the vets.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Who the hell's paying for that? The vets? We got to take care of ourselves.
Anything for a vote.
Yeah. But, have you ever witnessed a case where not having proper paperwork caused to have problems or delays? You were talking a while ago about these forms. And if you get down to the point where a person has actually passed and you don't have these forms, you got to file for them to get so that you could have a military funeral. It takes 2 weeks. What are they going to do about that?
Well, many times we get creative. We can, find out if they've ever been to a VA hospital. We can reach out to them to try to get something saying that this person was a honorable discharge veteran.
Okay.
So we do have other avenues other than the actual military. Some of our volunteer groups, VFW, American Legion groups, things of that nature. Many times they'll kind of look beyond the situation and know through pictures and things like that yes,
right.
this guy or this right. gal really did serve.
So if there's doubt, the main thing they need to do is get in touch with an organization like the Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens there.
Yes, sir.
And you guys will help through this distress period.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. But if they want to have a traditional service with burial, what are some of the options for veterans?
Well, of course, in our cemetery, we have two sections in both of our cemeteries, both Serenity Memorial Gardens and Lawn Haven Memorial Gardens. We have one section that is strictly for veterans and their spouses. Then we have another section that is also for veterans, but can be for all the family members as well, too.
Okay.
So they can buy as many lots as they wish. Now, at Serenity in Lawn Haven, we do not charge for a grave space for a veteran. That's our way of giving back to our veterans and say thank you. We appreciate what you've done for us as a nation, and we want to give back. So you're able to go ahead and secure that grave space for the veteran. It's free of charge. Now, the state of Alabama does require a perpetual care fee, which would be around $180.
Okay. That's reasonable.
That's to be deposited and left in an account so the state can reach out to that if ever need be.
Okay. Well, so then if a vet and his wife want to have or be together there and not be in a national cemetery, then all they would have to buy is just the one plot.
Right, right. And in the Wall of Honor, where it's double depth section, the wife doesn't have to pay for that either. Now, other options would be, of course, any kind of state or federal run veteran cemetery. Obviously, any private church cemetery or other memorial parks, all that can take place there, and we can still secure and get that military honor ceremony.
Unbelievable. That's really, really awesome that your organization would do this. Now, how can you be reached and your people be reached out there?
They can call us anytime at 251-653-4781 or go on our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
And you guys open on Saturday as well?
Saturdays and Sundays.
Sundays,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we keep a full staff every day.
Well, I guess people die even on weekends, don't they?
Well, we also have a lot of people just walk in and ask for information. So,
well, you know, a lot of times the people don't have any other time to go.
Exactly.
And did find that.
Exactly.
Bill, it's really a pleasure to have had you on here. It's certainly enlightening.
Well, it's always a pleasure being here.
Getting
good
information
to see you guys.
Out to all of our vets and their families out here. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. You can always go to
on the other side of the break, Mr. Donald Cetat from the Alabama Career Center when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM. Firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 3430106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, you can check us out on Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
We certainly want to thank the folks that continue to help make these shows possible, the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly that work with our vets daily, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And it is a privilege to be joined in the Scuttlebutt seat by Mr. Donald Cetat from the Alabama Career Center. Donald, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you, Cal. Man, glad to be here.
You're hiring. I thought you were supposed to be getting people jobs.
Well, we're doing both.
Oh.
We're doing both.
Okay.
It's also my birthday, and I told the wife I would rather be with Tommy and Cal on my birthday than at home, so...
Oh, Lord,
Lord. She's listening.
It's going to be nice sleeping on the couch tonight.
That's right. So much for that.
So much for that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're hiring. We, like everybody else, the unemployment rate's down, so we're looking for people. We've got some slots around the state that need to be filled, hadn't been filled for a while. So we're looking for some people, some veterans to fill those slots, and they have to be veterans, so... we're ready to give some veterans some jobs to come work for the state.
Now, you're saying veterans, but they also had to be discharged or released under conditions other than dishonorable.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We can take anybody that's other than dishonorable.
Well, now, what about a spouse of a veteran?
Well, if she's working with a 100% disabled veteran, we provide services for them. Actually, the law reads that we can hire first disabled veterans, then qualified veterans, and then qualified civilians. But We really have to answer to the Department of Labor if we hire a qualified civilian because of the disabled veterans and veterans
right,
out
right.
there.
Right, right. Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
No.
But now you've got some locations in other places besides in Mobile.
Yes, we got two positions in Mobile open, one in Dothan, one in Opelika, one in Decatur, and one in Huntsville. And the seventh position soon to be available in Monroe-Jackson area.
Goodness.
Monroeville, I'm sorry.
That's a lot. That's a lot of troops,
it is a lot
and you're
of
covering the whole state now with all these
Absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are the types of veteran employment specialists that are you looking for?
Well, we have two types. One's called a disabled veteran outreach program specialist. We call them DVOPs, and they work with veterans that have barriers to employment, and they help to resolve those barriers. So when they go to work, they can go to work, and then once they go to work, we make sure that they're not having problems while they're at work.
Okay.
And then we have the local veteran employment representative, and we call those leavers. And they are really the intermediary between the DVOPs and veterans that come in the career center and employers. They go and speak to the employers on behalf of the veterans. So they're kind of the intermediary between the employer and the veteran.
So that's where you're able to put these guys to work for the companies locally. Like, you know, I've helped you with some of those positions.
Right.
But that's really neat. Now, do you have some special requirements, I mean, besides just being a veteran?
Well, for a DVOP, they have to be a disabled veteran. Like I say, we look for disabled veterans first. If we can't find any qualified disabled veterans, then we can go to veterans and then civilians. But it's really a position that's written into federal law that they be a disabled veteran first, and we have to exhaust all those possibilities before we hire a regular veteran.
Is there a requirement now on how much disabled?
No.
So, in other words, 10% is considered disabled?
Right.
Okay.
Correct. And the leavers don't have to be disabled. They could just be regular veterans with anything other than dishonorable.
Now, what about their schooling and all?
Well, they have to have a bachelor's degree in any discipline. So, and it has to be accredited through the state personnel, you know, requirements for where the school's located and accredited, like I say.
So they have to have a four-year college degree?
Absolutely.
But you're not defining what discipline?
No, they can be in any discipline.
All right, and the federal regulation stipulates a hiring priority.
Right. Go ahead.
So you like, in other words, but their priority is you must be a qualified veteran.
Right. Well, for like DVOPs, you have to be a qualified disabled veteran, then qualified veteran, and on down the line.
What if they need training? I mean, is there some way you guys can train them?
Well, we train them. They come to work for us, and we start out training them, but there's also a required school they have to go to in Dallas. Now, they've started doing part of that training online, and then they fly them out to Dallas, but it's through the National Veterans Training Institute, and it's out in Dallas, and they used to have to go out there for 2 weeks, but they try to do online for a week, and then they send them out to Dallas for a week. And that gives them all the required training that they need to know, but they get continuous training. We've got a training conference coming up in about 3 weeks,
but
so we get plenty of training.
And you've got plenty of training, but you also have a lot of benefits available.
Yes, we do. We have retirement, medical, and plus all the state holidays.
Okay. But you also have satisfaction there of helping a fellow veteran.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of it. When I got started in it, when I worked at the Career Center, that was the biggest reward, was helping my fellow veteran, especially being a retiree. I love working with veterans, and I was kind of back in that NCO mode with them.
There you go.
And help them along.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And they appreciate it.
Well, and they do, and we need to, you know, it's these guys, they've earned this.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not
Absolutely.
Entitled to it. They've earned it by serving, you know,
Absolutely.
All the veterans have. All right, how do we apply?
Well, you can go online to personnel.alabama.gov and click on Career Opportunities and then Job Announcements and scroll down to Employment Security Representative and then just submit all the required documents. Now, if you supply them with your disability letter, then they'll automatically put you in the system for a DVOP, a leaver. If you don't send the disability letter, just send your DD-214, then they'll put you in the column for just the leaver positions.
Okay. Right, so there is, you need to define if you're a disabled veteran or not.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If they have any questions, they can contact my assistant, Lisa Owen, at 334-549-8939 or lisa.owen@alcc.alabamaspelledout.gov.
Oh, better. They better remember that phone number.
Yep.
Because that's too much on the computer.
On the computer? Yeah, I'm with you.
That's too
well,
much.
Well, they get a hold of Lisa. She'll take care of them.
Yeah, you just remember that number, 334-549-8939, and ask for Miss Lisa. She's an awesome lady and does a great job
and
for all of our
veterans.
She's
a retired NCO too, so don't give her a hard time.
No, I wouldn't want to give her I wouldn't want to give her a hard time. No, sir. But it's neat to do that. But it's just really unbelievable to us vets out here to know that you do have six and going on seven applicants open.
Absolutely. A couple of those have been open for a while, so that's why we didn't have time recruiting. Or issue recruiting before, but now we're having with the low unemployment rate a little more time. Recruiting.
But I tell you, if you're a vet and is this a state or is this a government job?
This is a state job.
State
under a federal grant.
Okay, state of Alabama. All right, so they got all kind of benefits, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So
and you
if,
don't work
if you yourself, fall into these categories, I've never seen him sweat.
that's for sure.
All right. But it's a pleasure having you, old man. We appreciate what you guys are doing for our vets. And any of you guys out there or ladies that fit in these categories and you need that job, let's make it happen.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The plight of children who accompany their parents illegally across the border into the United States has captured the attention of the press the past few weeks in the latest attempt to distract the American people from the successes of President Trump and the abject failure of the Obama administration, along with its progressive partners in Congress, to pass any type of immigration reform during his 8 years in office. Instead, politicians and their media puppets continue to lambast the longtime practice of separating children from their criminal parents, mainly into foster care or other temporary housing situations, while their parents are detained. To fix the root problem, aliens entering the country illegally would both remove a progressive talking point used to garner votes and expose the progressive left as nothing more than advocates for open borders and an end to a sovereign United States. Many of these, such as Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democratic senator from New York, are really nothing more than closeted communists. Gillibrand is perhaps among the most dangerous of their ilk, wrapping herself in the flag of feminism and equality while advocating for policies that in time will destroy the Constitution. Just remember, Gillibrand was the political voice behind the faux military sexual assault epidemic, spouting statistics designed to shock the average American into thinking that there was a rapist behind every $1,000 toilet seat, when in reality the percentage of assaults in the military were far less than those in the general population. For more details on the numbers, check out my tirade, "Just President Obama, There Is a Rule of Law," from 5 years ago. That is how long Gillibrand has been spewing her particular style of anti-Americanism. The true purpose of her witch hunt had less to do with rooting out rapists and more to do with erasing the chain of command from the UCMJ. In other words, destroying traditional law and order in America. So the spectacle of kids in cages like something from an ASPCA commercial was the perfect progressive propaganda of peace. You halfway expected Democrats to start running ads to raise money. For just $19 a month, you can help us talk more about how bad President Trump is for enforcing a law passed by Democrats under Bill Clinton. Then again, who hasn't been under Bill Clinton?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Bad top cat. Anyway, in what is yet another nothing to see here scandal, the actual number of children separated from their parents has been estimated to be somewhere in the range of 3,200. Progressives claim that this is the utmost and inhuman treatment of kids. Of course, these are the same folks who thought that it was a good policy to send Elian Gonzalez back to communist Cuba. They claim that these children are being unjustly punished because they are here only because of their parents who made a choice to drag them from an innocent slumber south of the border and invade the capitalist utopia to the north in search of a better life on the Democratic plantation. However, their claims of wanting to reunite these families on humanitarian grounds ring false when they fail to recognize that the parents of these kids, now being clothed, fed, and sheltered by your tax dollars, chose to cross the border knowing that what they were doing was illegal and that separation was a very real possibility. They will cry that it was not the fault of the chicos v. chicas, but their parents. And the poor things should not have to suffer because of their parents' bad choices. Really? You're going to use such a pathetic emotional argument to denigrate the laws and sovereignty of our country? Well, of course you will, because that is your true purpose. Nonetheless, if we want to take that approach, then why are these bleeding hearts not decrying the separation of American families at the hands of law enforcement? Putting a child in temporary housing or foster care when their parent engages in illegal activity is standard practice, even for U.S. citizens. A bit of information that's been largely ignored is that there are a large number of American children who've been separated from their parents and placed in foster care when their parents are incarcerated. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, an estimated 20,939 American children were put in foster care when a parent was incarcerated in 2016, and a whopping 166,000 were removed from their parents simply due to neglect. I would offer that the children of parental illegals fall into both categories. But you won't hear the progressives lament these children because to do so would equate the illegal alien parents of those separated with criminals and deadbeats, which they are. Instead of being valiant providers seeking nothing more than a new life for their future Democratic Socialist voter, you also won't hear progressive moaning about the over 300,000 innocent children literally ripped from their mother's womb by the infanticide providers at Planned Parenthood, of no hopes with being reunited with a loving parent. Moreover, you will never hear from them mention the over 700,000 U.S. children who are separated from their parents right now because one or both of their parents made a choice to sacrifice and serve their country in our armed forces. That's right, over 700,000 children will go to bed tonight separated from their parents because the parent volunteered to defend this nation from the illegals that voluntarily cross our borders, defy our laws, and place their children in harm's way through their actions. But you won't hear Gillibrand or Schumer or Pelosi, I hate to even say that word, crying for these children because to do so would highlight the stark differences in the actions of the parents. Red-blooded American patriots serving to protect our freedoms versus illegal alien criminal parasites looking to destroy the system of government which allows for the same. They won't bemoan the flight of these American children because at their heart they despise our military and all for which it stands. They mock those in uniform, believing them to be uneducated and unworldly deplorables. To them, the children of those in uniform deserve the hardship because their parents likely will never vote Democrat or progressive or socialist or communist or whatever the latest brand name is. That is why the simplest solution to this problem is to build a wall. It will keep these neglectful parents from making bad choices to bring their kids across the border, only to have them ripped from their arms and forced to star in the next round of progressive propaganda. Until then, you have to
keep them separated.
For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Clarkson, and God bless the patriots making true sacrifices for their kids.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact!
Blackjack! That's a blackjack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom-shaka-laka-laka, 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 boom-shaka-laka-laka.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans at 106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And a great tirade there, Tom. A lot of information. But real quick, I want to touch on a story. I really haven't seen a lot of coverage on this story in the mainstream media. But there was a group of motorcyclists from the Marine Jarheads, which is a New England motorcycle club that includes Marines and their spouses. But seven of its members, five Marine veterans and a couple of associate members, were killed by the driver of a truck. The driver is Volodymyr Zhukovsky, and he's been placed under arrest. He's 23. And you have to wonder, Tom, in the age in which we live, if there wasn't more to this or if he was simply careless. He apparently had a CDL, and despite being arrested on DUI charges in 2013, he has some other things there. So I think it's going to be interesting, Tom, to see how this plays out. But just a horrific tragedy. And if you've looked at any of the pictures, I posted the story to my Twitter feed, but it's really one of those things that somebody's going to have to investigate.
It is totally unfreaking believable that they let that guy run the streets like that, you know, and then he goes out and kills seven people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hope that you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!